The title of my message this morning is somewhat unusual. Remember to forget. And if you're going to forget it, how are you going to remember it? Well, there's a lot of things that the prophet Isaiah is having to tell us today in our text, which is found in Isaiah chapter 43, beginning with verse 16. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning with verse 16. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's word? Beginning with verse 16 of Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse and army and warrior. They lay down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, and jackals and ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to drink to my chosen people, to the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Today in our study of the scripture, we find the children of Israel in Babylonian captivity once again. Why? Because they turned from God. The ones that we find there in Isaiah 43 had an opportunity to leave Babylon. Why didn't? You can think of a lot of reasons why people would not want to leave. When Daniel and I were working at the hospital in Chattahoochee, if we had a resident there that had been there for an extended period of time and they got the opportunity to leave, a lot of times they wouldn't because of fear of the unknown. They had become what we call institutionalized, and they didn't want to have to face the real world. Why should they? Because God has called us as His children to face the real world, to face the facts of life, that things are not always what they seem. Many of these children of Israel did leave, but the remnant of the Israelites remained in Babylon. And once again, they turned from the leading of God, and they decided to stay with things that they were comfortable with. They liked things the way they were. They didn't want to leave their comfort zone. So they found themselves once again captive and unable to leave and to return to their homeland. Their faith and hope was at such a low point during this captivity that they constantly needed to be reassured that things would eventually turn around for them. And the Lord spoke to them earlier in this chapter saying, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. For I am the Lord your God." In many ways, God assures them that God will find a way to break the powers of the oppressors. Amen. Yet they still doubted. In verses 16 through 21, God uses word pictures to reassure them that changes are about to take place. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. And I want us to look closely at this scripture today and see that what's in it for us that will help us to move forward in our walk with God. As we talk about moving forward with God, we realize that there are those who are contented doing the same old thing, the same old way that they have always been done. Why do you think that is? Most likely because they're afraid of the unknown, as I said. We've all heard the phrase made, the statement made, that if it's not broken, don't try to fix it. But how do you measure brokenness? Some may be broken to the point that they do not have the faith necessary to move on or to move forward with God. These Israelites in our study today were just that way. They felt that in enslavement they were better off than they were beforehand. They were better off in Babylonian captivity than they were down there in Egyptian captivity. So they were afraid to move on. Looking to the past, the Israelite people had to be reminded by the prophet Isaiah of the great things that God had done for their forefathers when he brought them out of Egypt. Isaiah saying, God will make it God's business to do it again. God delivered you one time, God will do it again. God's hands are not tied, except by us, when we limit our faith and our trust in Him. God is the Holy One, the Holy God of Israel, and God is able to do anything. And you know, folks, that didn't just apply to the Israelites back thousands of years ago. That applies to us today. God delivered them then, and God will deliver us now.
Amen.
Sometimes we are able to believe that God can do some particular thing, but for some reason God can't or won't do other things in our lives. We think, well, I just don't see how God can possibly do this, because it's a problem of long standing. It's something that has been going on for eons. We can't see how God will work it out. Children of God, this kind of thinking puts limits on God. And all of us have been guilty of that. Well, I know God can, but this is just such a problem of such magnitude that I just don't see how he can do it. Or what if he won't do it? What if he's busy doing something else? The God that we serve today is never too busy to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. God is not affected in the least by what you tried in the past that didn't work. For years, ever since I've been big enough to remember, I've heard people say, well, we tried to do that back in the 50s, or we tried to do that back in the 70s and 80s, and it didn't work then, so I don't see any point in trying to do it now. It won't work. It didn't work then. The only limits that God has are those that we as individuals put on God through our lack of faith. Our outreach team has its meetings on Thursday evenings, and we've been studying the importance of having a vision. The body of Christ, the church, us, should have a vision. Not our vision, not the preacher's vision, not Mike's or Daniel's or Kathy's or Linda's vision, but it should be God's vision. What God wants to do at Bethel United Methodist Church, not what we individually want or prefer. It's important for us to look to the past so that we can see what God did under similar circumstances. When we follow God's plan, God opens doors that makes the impossible thing seem possible. Why would God make the impossible possible? God likes to be praised. That was the main purpose of God creating mankind, was to praise Him and worship Him. Scripture tells us that He inhabits the praises of His people. So when we praise Him and invite Him into our hearts and lives, invite Him into our sanctuary, He will come, but He will not come uninvited. God likes to be praised. He inhabits our worship. So when we experience God's miracles, what do we do? If God does a miracle in your life, you're going to tell it. You're going to get excited about it. When God heals someone, whether it be from a sore throat or from cancer, they're going to tell it, "Praise God, I'm healed." When God enables you to buy a new car or a new house, "Praise God, look what He's done for me." We want to tell it. But that doesn't always take place. We do not praise God often enough. I don't want anybody to answer this question out loud, but I want you to think about it. Have you ever felt like that you were in your own little Egyptian bondage or in your own little Babylonian captivity, stuck in a rut with problems that seem insurmountable? All of us have. Look at then and look at now. God made a way. That problem we had back 20 years ago that we felt like we just could not get through it, we did. We're here. God made a way. He opened the door. He put streams in the desert for us because we trusted in Him. God made a way. God has all of the authority to make good on His promise. And He promises that He will never, ever leave us or forsake us if we put our faith and trust in Him. Amen. Many of us, and all of us if we stop and think about it, can think about that, you know, God's always kept His promises. He's always been there when we needed Him. There was a man that was taking a drive in the country, going down the dirt road, and suddenly his car stopped running. He coasted over to the side of the road, and while he was out lifting the hood of the car so he could take a look inside, an old horse come trotting by. And the horse didn't even slow down, but as he got even with the man, the horse looked around and says, "You better check the gas." Well, the man was so shocked by this talking horse that he ran to the nearest farmhouse and he frantically knocked on the door. And when the farmer came to the door and heard the man's story, the farmer asked, was this horse a horse with one floppy ear? And the man says, yes, that's the one. He had a floppy ear. Farmer says, "Oh well," says, "don't believe everything he says. He don't know the first thing about cars." If you couldn't believe everything that the horse said, but you won't, I want you to ask yourself this morning, can I believe everything that God said? Because God's walking by us today. He's telling us to check our hearts. In our outreach meeting, one of the first things that we say when we greet each other on Thursday evenings, "How is it with your soul?" And that ain't no voice talking. That's God wanting us to be held accountable for how it is with our soul. Every one of us here, unless it's Ellie, has probably reached the age of accountability. We are responsible for our actions. We are responsible for our behavior. We are responsible for our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're a member of Facebook, you've probably read all of these little things where people refer to the good old days. We all have some precious memories of things that happened back in the good old days. And I agree that there's been times in my life that were less stressful than right now. But I tell you with all sincerity today that I would never agree to go back and live through all of that again. Yes, there were good times, but there were some rough times. And God has been there and brought us through those times. I don't want to be stuck back in a time period of the past. I want to be moving forward with God. I want to be in a spiritual state that will allow me to see and accept new things. God is wanting to spring forth in my life today. In Isaiah 43, God says, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way." God is simply saying, don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on past victories. Don't dwell on past failures to the point that you can't see anything in your life but failure. If you do, you'll be stewing and fretting over things that you can't do anything about. Things that will cloud your mind of the things that God wants to do right now. History is available only to show us how God has brought us through it and to help us make better decisions as we move forward for God. Daniel says that he remembers when his family had saved up enough money to pay for the light pole to run lights from town down to the river where they lived down at Bristol so that they could get electricity. I'm reminded of an elderly couple who couldn't afford the new light poles. And eventually, they saved up enough money to get poles so that they could have electricity in their home. They threw a party at their house when they finally got this electricity hooked up. They waited for it to get dark. Then the man told his wife to turn on the switch. And the room filled with light, and everyone rejoiced. And the old man, he just grinned from ear to ear. And he picked up his kerosene lantern off the table and lit it. He says, "It sure makes lighting my lamps easier." And he turned off the electric. What things in your past are you having trouble forgetting or turning loose of? It could be the things that people have said to hurt you, to hurt your feelings. It could be things that happened to you on the job or in your family or even in church. If you can't turn them loose, give them to God. Then these things won't be keeping you captive. God's saying, "I want to do a new thing in your life. I want to spring forth now." What we see as impossible is no problem to God. He says, "I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, and I'll give drink for my chosen people, the people whom I have formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise." Spring is ready to burst forth in our lives. God is doing a new thing right now. God is still a miracle-working God. God just wants us to look ahead. He wants us to look to the new miracle that will overshadow all of the old ones. It's time to declare that spring is here. Answers to prayer are being, we're seeing it everywhere. When we meet on Thursdays for our outreach, and we hear testimonies on Sunday morning about how God is changing lives, God is working in the lives of people that we have lifted up to Him in prayer. You know, once God begins to answer our prayers, things can move very quickly. When God does a new thing, it will not be inferior in any way to the old things. I encourage you to thank God in advance for doing a new thing in your life today. Expect new miracles to spring forth and to burst out during this Lenten season. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us to hide this word in our hearts and to realize that you are wanting to do a new, great, and marvelous thing in our life. Father, help us if we have anything in our past that we need to forget, that we will forget it, and that we will press on, mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.